Good morning. Beautiful day outside. The following proclamation was made by Governor Bradford in the year 1623. That's 3 years after the Pilgrims had settled at Plymouth. To all you pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundance harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, garden vegetables, and has made the forest abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623. And the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. As you know, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's the one day, I guess, in which we, like the early pilgrims, gathered together, take a moment out of our busy schedules, gather with family and friends to thank God. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to do it several times. But the Word of God tells us that this should not be just a one-day deal, but that it should be continual, a daily attitude that we have. You have your Bibles over in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 18. It tells Christians to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then over in 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Paul's main theme here in these two scriptures is to give praise, to give thanksgiving. And notice the other important words. He says to do it always and to do it in everything. Sounds like Paul's talking about a church service, especially those where we read in Ephesians when he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But really he isn't. He's talking about a continual attitude for Christians, an attitude of the heart. This is how we ought to be with one another, how we should have this attitude always and in everything. I believe that the answer lies in our perspective of thanksgiving, and that we need the proper perspective. One young lady wrote home from college, and this is what she wrote. Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written you sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze, called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day, and because it was taking so long for our dormitory to become livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. Must admit, I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. Hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and we'll write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news in the proper perspective. To be thankful in everything, we need the proper perspective on our circumstances and of our God. Only then are we going to be able to give thanks to the Lord always. I believe there's three attitudes that, for whatever reason, seem to steal away our gratitude. Three things that keep us from being thankful. And the first is this. It's our pride. It's the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything that I have. For years I studied hard and then I worked hard and now it's finally paying off. And with that kind of attitude, we really feel like we have no one that we need to thank but ourselves. And that steals our gratitude to God. The second is this. It's a critical spirit. It's the constant complaining. A lady was known as being an incurable grumbler. She was constantly complaining about everything. And at last, our preacher thought he had found something that she would be happy for he knew they were in a rural community. She had a farm, and her farm crop was the finest for miles around. So when he met her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone's saying how healthy your potatoes are this year." She says, "Oh, true, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need the bad ones to feed the pigs?" Some people are never satisfied. And if you have that grumbling, complaining spirit, it will steal from you the ability to have the attitude of being thankful to God. And the third is simply carelessness. Someone said if the stars only came out once a night, we would probably all go outside that night and look at the stars in wonder. But because they're out there every night, oh, we kind of take it for granted. No longer satisfied. Because of pride, because of carelessness, because of a critical spirit, we can never be truly thankful to God that has given it all to us. Remember the other day when we preached and I used the word "if" up here on the board and gave you the poem by Rudyard Kipling, "If"? Well, Rudyard was a great writer, great poet. We saw that. One of the few, though, in his old age that was actually able to profit from the words that he had penned, he made a great deal of money as a writer. And one time a newspaper man came to Rudyard Kipling and he said, "Mr. Kipling, I have just read that somebody has calculated the money you make from your writings, and it amounts to over $100 a word." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." So this reporter kind of cynically reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $100 bill. And he gave it to Mr. Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now give me one of your $100 words." He looked at that $100 bill, and he smiled. He folded it up, and he put it in his pocket, and he said, "Thanks." Think about that. That's a $100 word. Now, that's $1 million word. Thanks. If we could adopt an attitude of thanksgiving into our lives would be changed. You look around the world. If any nation ought to be thankful to God this week and any day, it ought to be America. And if any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be Christians. This morning I want to share with you three things from Scripture that we learn about thanksgiving. And the first is simple. Thanksgiving needs to be expressed. We can go back to the Old Testament and look how, for example, Psalm 100, verse 4 says, and you'll remember, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name. A few pages over, David wrote in Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We should express our thanks to God. Remember the story in Luke 17 about the 10 lepers? They were healed, but only one of the 10 turned around and came back to Jesus. And if you look at Luke 17:17, he asked this question, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There was only one who was willing to return and thank him. Jesus said a very interesting thing to that man. It's in verse 19. He said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Now think about that. Physically, he had already been healed, as had the other 9. So as you read that, you wonder, what is it that he needed to be well of besides leprosy? The answer is not given to us, but I think Jesus knew that life is more than just physical wellness. It's also spiritual wellness. And by his thankfulness, he had become a whole person and was well. Psychologists tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions that we could have. A thankful heart endears us to other people and us to ourselves. You see, thanksgiving is not just good for the giver, it's also good for the receiver. And God appreciates our thanksgiving. Over in the book of Romans, in the first chapter, verse 21, Paul says this, although they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. These people were ungrateful to God, and what he's saying is soon they will fall away from God. Their hearts will become hardened. Pride keeps people from worshiping God and being thankful. Our thanksgiving needs to be expressed, but something else. Our thanksgiving needs to be expansive. And that includes at least 3 things. One is the blessings of life. Now, I wash a lot of dishes, so I'm going to ask you a question. You probably do too. Have you ever stood in front of that sink full of dirty dishes and said, God, thank you for this sink full of dirty dishes? I confess I haven't, and I suspect you haven't. But when you think about it, we both should give thanks. For what does that tell us? We just completed a great blessing of a good meal. Do you realize that 2/3 of the people in the world? We are truly blessed. We pray very general prayers. We say, thank you, God, for all of our blessings. And that's okay. Well, what blessings are you really thankful for? We often have sung the old hymn that goes in part like this, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Maybe it would behoove us sometime to just sit down and begin to think about the specific blessings of life. Sometimes we have burden of life. Can you be thankful in those circumstances? You remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then in Ephesians we read, give thanks always for all things. And we say, Paul, you must have been making a mistake, because we wouldn't want to be thankful for all of the bad things or burdens that we have had in life. Now, we talked a little bit last week about some of Paul's problems, the thorn in the flesh. Maybe it was eyesight. Maybe it was blindness or some portion of blindness. But you can read on about Paul's life, and he will later say, besides that, he had been run out of town. He had been beaten. He'd been whipped. He'd been in prison, betrayed by friends. He was naked. He was cold. He was hungry. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. None of that's happened to any of us, I suspect. But yet, in all of that, Paul never stopped giving thanks because he had a proper perspective, even of the burdens of life. You might turn with me over to the book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 18. Here's one. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A little further over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In Philippians 1:12, he says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul had the proper perspective, even in the difficult times of life. And we too need to give thanks in all circumstances. There may be a reason for what's happening that we don't yet know. Because in our weakness, like Paul says, God will make us strong. When we're struggling, God will work within our lives to strengthen us in His love. I don't think Paul is saying that we have to be thankful for our problems. I think he's saying we ought to be thankful in our problems. Even in our problems, we can be thankful, even if we're not thankful for the fact that we have problems, because God will use them for a greater good. Remember the story of the Philippian jailer who's ready to take his life? The earthquake had opened the doors. Everybody would escape. If anybody escaped, they're going to take his life, so he might as well take his life. And then you find inside Peter and Silas singing songs, saying, don't do it. We're all here. Nothing has happened. They were in chains. But yet they had the proper perspective of even the burdens of life and could be thankful to the Lord for that. I think we need to be thankful for the benefits of life. You remember the Israelites? It's an interesting story to look back and see them walking to the promised land. They failed to see all that God had done for them. Think about it. They just got released from captivity from the Egyptians. They had just seen the waters part and they walked across the Red Sea. They had been to the mountain and seen God actually chisel stones with the laws on them for them. And yet, as they walk through life, what do? They mumble, and they complain, and couldn't see what God had done. It's all in our perspective. There was an interesting experiment that took place in New York City's Central Park. They took a man, dressed him up as a blind man, gave him a cup to collect money, and put a sign on the front of him that said, I'm blind. And one day, he got $4. They took the exact same man, dressed him the exact same way, gave him the exact same cup, put him in the exact same spot, and they changed the sign to say, it's spring, I'm blind. He got $40. What's the difference in that experiment? When people could look out and see and recognize some of the blessings of God's creation around them, then they had greater compassion upon this man. Yes, we need to have our thanksgiving expressed, and we need to have our thanksgiving expanded. And Paul said something else. Our thanksgiving is expected. Remember back 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give. In everything give thanks. But he went on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wills us to be thankful to him for the blessings that he has given us. And if we do that, that's the mark of a growing Christian. We've had babies. We've had grandbabies. If you ever have a little infant and he's got colic, got to cry his or her little eyes out, and you can pick up that baby and you can cuddle it and you can pat it and you can do all of those things, and when you lay it back down in the crib, what's it going to do? The exact same thing. And as that little one gets older and they begin to get something from somebody, what do you turn to them and say? Did you say thank you? They have to be taught to give thanks. Doesn't get any easier when they become teenagers. And it's not any easier when we're adults. To pause and to give thanks. But our thanksgiving is also the sign not just of a growing Christian, it's also the sign of a giving Christian. As we grow in our understanding of how we've been blessed, then we're going to turn around to the Lord and give more of our time and more of our financials and all of that. Thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian. It's the mark of a giving Christian. But it's also the mark of a glowing Christian. Paul writes over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see that? Every negative thing that happened, he came back with a glowing Christian response. It's okay. Over in 2 Corinthians 4, a few verses down, beginning in verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Yes, Paul had the right perspective, and he could look out and say, despite what may be difficult today, thank you, God, for all that you have given me. Back to that Psalm 107, verse 1 that David wrote, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation, and Christ invites you to join his kingdom. He says, come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you need to be immersed for the remission of those sins, we can do that now. Come if you will, as we stand and sing.